how did it happen that you ended up singing lead on Help Me Rhonda?
Oh, I don't know. I think Brian just thought my voice would fit the tenor of the song, and also I was touring, and Brian was not. So he would begin to give the leads to the guys that obviously who were on making the rounds, you know, doing the road work. And Mike had been getting leads up to now. I mean, up to then, pretty much most of the leads. So it was good to have a variety in our musical, you know, interpretation of our music, you know.
Wasn't it during the recording of Help Me Rhonda that the Beach Boys, the other members of the band, their father came in the studio and nutted up on them in the middle of Help Me Rhonda? Isn't that the legend?
Yeah, there's an infamous fact. I just did an interview on Sirius Radio, and the guys trapped me with one of those recordings of Murray Wilson coaching me on the song. And I think it's available on the Hawthorne album. There was an album released called the Hawthorne Project or something.
Huh, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, check it out, because you'll hear Murray. And as I walked into the studio, I heard, Jardine, make sure you stay on mic and don't flat now. And I'm going, oh, my God, that voice.
Oh, yeah. So it was
Murray Wilson talking to me. It was like he was in the room.
And he was considered a kind of a megalomaniac and a very kind of abusive dad, and that he was giving all this musical advice to the Beach Boys, and that on Help Me Rhonda, the tape was rolling mm-hmm. while he went into this rant or at least maybe he said, and it wasn't him, but the other guys in the band sort of pushed back on him.
Well, you'll hear it on if you get that CD. Hawthorne, you'll hear most of it. It's about an hour of it, but normally those kinds of things aren't taped, or we don't roll tape that way. But someone was rolling a two-track in the background and caught all the chit chat, you know, that was going on. But I was cool. I mean, I just had to deal with two different producers. That's all, Brian and his dad.
You've been working with your sons. I think that's also really that's a terrific opportunity, and carrying on in the sort of the family tradition of the Beach Boys. Your sons have been backing you up both on this album and on tour over the years?
My eldest sons, Matthew and Adam, have been working with me on stage for quite a while. And my youngest sons, Robbie and Drew, have been helping me with artwork and did some of the artwork for the new album. So,
oh, that's really good.
Pretty lucky.
I hope people grab that. It's they can link up to Al Jardine on our webpage at coasttocoastam.com, and then also just go to iTunes and you can link in from there. That's a really, really fun cover of Help Me Rhonda.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you. Yeah, he just, I can't tell you how hard these guys worked on this stuff. I mean, they must have enjoyed it too. Otherwise they wouldn't have done it, you know, because it's just, all the music is fun. That's the main thing about this album.
You know, I didn't credit this, and I should have mentioned it because I am a fan of his too. And that's on "Don't Fight the Sea," the cut we were playing before we went to the break. That's the one you worked on with Terry Jacks, wasn't it?
Oh, Terry. Well, Terry actually wrote the song originally.
Oh, I see.
And,
okay.
And was good enough to let me rewrite it for an American release. He had released a version of this in Canada back in the late '70s on a 45.
Oh, interesting.
It was a little too colloquial, you know. I had, like, I was mucking about when the tide went out. I changed it. I was messing around until the tide went down, you know, things like that.
Well, probably most people know him best, right, for Seasons in the Sun. We had joy, we had fun.
Yeah, he's a
Seasons in the Sun.
Fun-loving guy. In fact, he wanted the Beach Boys to record that originally.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I could hear you guys totally doing that song.
Well, we tried, and it didn't work for us.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, well, heck, then I'll just do it myself. And 12, 15 million copies later, go figure.
Yeah. But there can't be many of those, though, that you guys walked away from that ended up being bigger hits for other people than they would have been for you.
It's all about the arrangement. It's just a lot of things that go into making a hit song. It's just an amazing thing. And I still am amazed that the stuff that becomes a hit you don't think is going to, and then something you don't think is going to becomes a massive hit.
Yeah. Like what was a hit that you didn't think was going to be a hit?
Well, Barbara Ann, for instance. I mean, that was just a throwaway. Did that in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And we used ashtrays and all kinds of stupid things on the song just to make party noises, you know?
Right.
Crazy. And next thing you know, it's number one all over of the world.
You know, I was just listening to Barbara Ann the other day by coincidence, and I knew that you were coming up, and I was really listening for the voices, because I love how, as when I was in high school, and this was long after Barbara Ann had already been a hit, but I remember putting on my headphones, my Radio Shack headphones, and listening, because it sounds like somebody yells the word castrate right in the middle of that little party sequence in the middle. Is that true?
Oh, no, ashtray. Al's playing his magic ashtray is what he's saying.
Is that what it is? It's not castrate, it's ashtray.
That's too funny. It's Brian saying, it's Al on his ashtray or something. I must have been hitting some...
Oh, that's funny. You've never heard the castrate?
I was hitting it with a drumstick, I think.
You never heard the urban legend then? I guess it is that you all are talking about the high vocal, and somebody's making a joke about being castrated. You've never heard that?
No, all I ever heard was the ashtray line. So that's one that's... We can put the rest.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad I could do that. I feel like I broke news there somehow with Al Jardine from the Beach Boys.
Didn't castrate anybody, but except Dean Torrance when he came in and tried to sing the high part. We definitely castrated him.
And that was a thing.
That's why he has that high part.
And Janet,
he and Brian double the high part on that.
That's what it is. It's Dean, Jan, and Dean and Brian. They doubled the high
part. Yeah, he walked in from a session across the hall, and we just snared him into the party, you know. He just
right
in with us just at the right time.
Now, you're also credited with being a driving force, I guess is the way I heard it described, for the recording of Sloop John B. This was your idea. You said, you guys, we ought to do this song. Is that true?
Well, yeah, I arranged it. I mean, it was my arrangement. And Brian took it one step further and made it into a marching song, you know, with a big band song, which I thought was cool. But, of course, I never got credit for it. But, you know, sometimes that happens, you know. Life isn't always fair. But it turned out beautifully.
Good. Well, you should be very proud of that.
Yeah, I am. And it's always been one of my favorites.